It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
Bring out your dead husband.
I'm not dead.
Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulation.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favor. Oh, thanks very much.
Not at all.
Who's that then?
I don't know. Must be a king.
Why?
He hasn't got shit all over him.
From Monty Python's Flying Circus and the hit musical Spamalot, Eric Idle on the Adam Carolla Show.
I'll tell you my history while we're waiting for Eric Idle to get on the phone with Monty Python. When Monty Python first came out, I was young, and there were a lot of guys that were into it, but I thought it was sort of nerd humor. I always sort of put it in there with Star Trek and stuff, which is, yeah, so a lot of people are into this. I don't know why. I ain't one of them. And they would go around doing the spam song and stuff like that. And I was like, nerding. And I saw Life of Brian and I thought, wow, this is actually pretty funny stuff. But I didn't want to like it because I decided that I wasn't going to be one of those people that was into it. Much like it is when there's, like I said, like Star Trek or anything else, although that really was a piece of crap. And then, you know, I went back and looked at the Holy Grail.
I love the Holy Grail, and I didn't want to.
Yeah, and then the history of the world and all that stuff, and I just thought, wow, this is actually really smart, really funny stuff. And it's simultaneously smart, it's cerebral humor and super crazy slapstick, wig and heels on humor.
The BBC is rather strict, and they can only do so much. When they make their movies, they got to be more themselves and more cerebral. And that's when you have to go, hey, these guys might be geniuses.
Well, here's one of them.
Yeah. Oh, not this one, though. He's not that bright.
Eric's not that clever.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Eric Idle. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks.
It's an honor to speak with you.
Nice.
We're all a huge fan. So Spamalot, which was, you know, on Broadway or is on Broadway, is coming to Las Vegas, yes?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, it's weird, but it seems over the last few years with the producers and many of these other shows that have been coming to Broadway, there's much more room for comedy and much more room for stuff that was formerly on something else coming to the stage now. People are accepting it. It seems like a good time for that.
Well, I think the thing about Vegas is it has to reinvent itself every 5 or 10 years because, you know, there was the time of the entertainers like Sammy Davis and, you know, the individual stars were there, and that was a big, huge thing to do. Then came the shows, you know, spectacular shows with girls and spangles and all the French kind of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the sort of circus shows that have been the last 10 years, you know, lots of acrobats and French people disjointing their muscles and singing in French.
Right. Don't forget the stupid-ass 5 years they tried to make it a family theme park.
Well, that was they soon learned that.
That was a bad call.
It's about putting buckets down in the desert for people to come and empty their change into.
Yeah, or sacks for dollars,
They're always looking for new ways to sort of put on, you know, entertain people, and they're trying sort of, now they've gone to try and do something kind of witty and sort of humorous. So that's a good sign, I think.
Well, how did the original, going back to, I'm guessing, was the movie released in the early 70s, mid-70s?
75.
75.
Yeah.
When was the concept for the Holy Grail? Who had the idea? Where were you?
This guy named Christ. Yeah. Read some of it and then set it down.
When did you get Christ? The phone call? Like, how did this work?
Well, you know, we'd made a sort of sketch movie called And Now for Something Completely Different.
Right.
And quite inexpensively, and so we thought, well, it's our chance to take and make a movie for ourselves that we write specially for the screen, you know, and it sort of evolved over a 2-year writing process that we had a lot of sketches, but it focused down largely on King Arthur and his failure to get a horse. He had these terrible coconuts instead of a horse. And we thought, this is quite funny to make it all about the search for the Holy Grail. I mean, because we all sort of know that legend for some bizarre reason.
And it got more popular again recently. It did it again. It made a comeback.
Well, the Grail stuff is always it's a subject completely open to bollocks from writers. You know, they can make up what they want.
Do you have, first off, I heard that George Harrison helped finance the movie. Is that true?
Well, actually, the Holy Grail was financed by Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Genesis, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Nice.
All putting up £20,000. Each. It only cost £200,000. It was $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
George did that movie, Time Bandits? Or?
George paid for The Life of Brian.
Life of Brian.
Ah, smart.
George was great.
$4 million quid, mortgaged his home because he wanted to see the movie.
And did these guys all make, I mean, do you know how much the Holy Grail has made over the last 32 years?
Made for the investors, it's made over 1,000%.
Not bad.
Not bad.
So it is gross.
It's a Microsoft stock of comedy.
Millions. And I'm guessing Life of Brian did all right as well.
Life of Brian, I don't know what the return on that investment is, but you know, the nice thing was that we got to make our films without any studio interference or executive people telling us what to do.
You can tell when you watch them because these are incredibly absurd ideas.
You just don't crucify some guy named Brian in the Holy Land and get away with it with a studio head.
And what do you have, Eric Idle we're speaking to, by the way, do you have a personal favorite? Do you have one you would sit down and watch if you
movies?
Could just choose? Yeah.
Well, obviously, I like Holy Grail because I wouldn't have spent 4 years trying to turn it into a stage musical if I hadn't really liked the material.
Right.
It always makes me laugh. I mean, it's not in my writing. It's Michael Palin's and John Cleese's and all that as well. You know, it's sort of absurd and it's really kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And it's a bit. I always think of it in the same terms as Hard Day's Night, which are young men who don't quite know what they're doing.
Right.
There's a sweetness and of young people.
My favorite gag of that movie, and I don't mean to insult you by giving it that label, but. Is the minstrel that starts doing the sort of verbally degrading songs.
Yes.
And the guy asks him to please stop at a certain point. Yes. I don't know why that cracks me up so, but that's one of my favorite.
It's a very sweet little song about losing all his limbs and being hacked and mangled and his ears cut off and his eyebrows removed, nostrils raked, and his bottom unplugged and his penis split. But it's very jolly. Hooray, hooray.
There's the cowardice part, too, where he turns and runs, and that gets woven into the song.
And bravely he ran away. You know? But what it is, in fact, it faces you right there with the realities of the dilemma of war. It seems to be very jolly. You'll get dressed up in wonderful costumes, and then you come back hacked and mangled.
Right.
But it's doing it in a very jolly way, so it's subverting the message, which is in the minstrel form.
Yeah, it's funny. There's all the pomp and circumstance and all the beautiful outfits and the fun toys, but ultimately you get a limb blown off or worse. Now, let me ask you this, Eric Idle. I got a call from my agent. It must have been about a year and a half ago.
That's the last time my agent called.
And he said, the folks over, he said, have you heard of Spam-A-Lot? I said, yeah, I guess I had heard something about it. I don't think it started yet on Broadway. When did it launch on Broadway?
It celebrated 2 years on Broadway.
2 years. So I must have got this call 2 years ago. And he said, the guys from Spam-A-Lot called and they wanted to know if you're available. And I said, available for what? I don't sing. I'm not a trained, you know, stage actor or Broadway performer. And they said, they just want to know your availability if you're going to be in New York for a few weeks. And I said, well, I don't think I can do that because I'm not going to be in New York. And then it went away. And I still to this day have no idea what it was or if you know anything about it.
Well, I don't, but I'll make it my business to
find out. Will you, for God's sakes? Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. I've seen your travel show, although the name escapes me at the moment.
Wait. That's Michael Palin.
My sincerest apologies.
He's the other one. That's my other name.
No, that's just because he does this. He references being crucified right over there 20 years ago.
Yes, that's right. He did. He showed where we were, at where we filmed it.
Right.
In 19, whatever it was.
Pardon my mistake, but when he referenced the, and I was crucified right over there, I immediately thought of you.
Thank you. Well,
no problem.
Yes.
I have a question about your show opening in Vegas. It's going to be at the Wynn Hotel and Casino, yes?
Yes.
And are any of the cast members from the Broadway version going to be in Vegas?
No, we have a whole new cast. We have John O'Hurley playing.
From Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, he's rather a wonderful Arthur, and he's sort of sweet and attractive, and he dances very nicely, he keeps telling us.
And so, Eric, this must be a nice, not only satisfying for your psyche, but your wallet must feel pretty it's, full too.
It's very nice because unlike the film business, you actually get to feel some of the money coming your way.
Right.
But it's more than that. It's really very satisfying to be able to do something that works on Broadway, gets the Tony of the Year for Best Musical. Mm-hmm. Then we get to open a touring company, which is this week in Philadelphia. Then we get to open it in London. So it's a huge hit in London. Mm. Now we open it in Vegas.
Yeah, it becomes like a Starbucks. You can franchise these things,
well,
right?
Yes. No, but I mean, people want to see it everywhere. But so you have to put on new companies and take it to them.
Right.
You know who invented that was? Dick Clark invented that with Dawn before it was Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
He had like 100 singers on that record and then split them up into threes and had Dawn playing all around the country singing Knock three times on the ceiling.
Excellent.
Hit them everywhere. He invented that.
Well, there is that sort of stage. There's a couple of stages of show business. There's that stage where you get paid a ton to go out and perform, which is great. But then there's the even better stage where you get paid to walk out to your mailbox to get paid. And that's the stage that Eric Idle is in now.
Yep.
God bless you.
I have toured America twice, so I thought this is a way if I can write something and put other people on stage.
Yeah, now your wallet's on tour.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just send your wallet on a tour of America.
You guys discovered Sarah Ramirez, who we know as Callie from Grey's Anatomy.
Did. She's fantastic. I mean, I've never seen a talent like her. She's not only got this operatic voice, and she can sing like any other kind of singer in the world, but she's also extremely funny and a great actress. Wow. And we're actually writing an album for her at the moment.
And are there any folks, because there are a lot of people that have made it pretty well in Hollywood, done features and television, who want to get back to the stage.
Uh-huh.
Is there any celebrities or any people coming up or anyone we should know about that have contacted you or that have made inquiries to get back onto stage and get into something like this?
Well, John O'Hurley did ask. He said he earmarked it as one of the two parts he'd like to play on Broadway. So we immediately said yes and shoved him into the desert.
Yeah, there's a fake Broadway. It runs under a miniature-sized Statue of Liberty.
He's very happy. He plays golf, and he's a lovely life out there. So
yeah, you used to go to Vegas to die. It was the end of your career. Not now.
Right. Or be killed.
That's Broadway now.
Hey. Well, Vegas has always had possibilities for performers to revive and reinvent themselves. I'm sure you'll see Michael Jackson reinvent himself there very shortly.
Eric, from your mouth to God's ears.
I believe that to be true.
Eric, do you live in England full-time, or do you live out?
No, I live in Los Angeles full-time.
Ah, well,
can we come over?
What's that?
Can we come over?
Sure, you can come over. I'm just getting my kid off to school.
How old are your kids?
My daughter's 16.
I got a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old, and Adam has twin, what are they, 9 months?
Yeah, but the trophy wife math may work out quite nicely with Eric Idle's daughter.
Really? I've been with my trophy wife for 30 years, so I think I need a new trophy.
Yeah, I've been with my trophy wife for 17.
I didn't think I could love
17.
Him more, but now I do.
He's got a little tarnish on the trophy wife. You need a new one, yes. Your daughter's 16. I should be getting a divorce in 5 to 8 years. That'll be perfect.
All right. Would you like Adam Carolla as your son-in-law, Eric?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Actually, to be honest with you would.
Yes.
He's smart. He's handy. He can build a house from the ground up. He's the kind of guy you want. Now, if he actually asked you what Danny Bonaducci is a son-in-law, you might want to scream no and go running from the room.
Yeah. Eric, if you give me as a son-in-law, you're going to have to get a food taster as well. Because,
why?
Because I'm going to need,
rich enough.
I'm gonna need that mountain of money. All right, Eric, please come in. The Holy Grail for us would be if Eric Idle came into studio sometime
soon.
He lives
in L.A. You'd come in, right, Eric?
I'd come in, yes.
And even though I shouldn't point it out once more, I really do appreciate that you're not taking offense to the Michael Palin reference.
Oh, I'm used to it. Don't worry.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
That felt bad.
And by the way, I love you on House.
Eric Idle, everyone, and of course, Spamalot.
Yay!
New musical, lovingly ripped off from the Monty Python Holy Grail movie. That's a good point. March 31st at the Wynn Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. We'll take a break. When we come back, in the news, Vivica A. Fox, not our news, but the news,
you
Vivica
are.
A. Fox, who I always thought was aptly named Fox.
Yeah.
That is one piece of hot cocoa I'd like to take a swig off of. It's a hot, hot woman of color there.
Yes.
Vivica A. Fox. Yeah. Anyway, she got popped for
Please
DUI.
Refrain from using ethnic slurs.
Yes.
And guess what? She was in Van Nuys at the time, your hometown.
Scenic, majestic
Van Nuys. Do you know how many times I've been chained up in that? Because I grew up in the Valley and I didn't have a driver's license until I was 30. So every time you got pulled over, you got arrested. You didn't just get a ticket. You had to go to jail. I've been in that jail in lockdown 17 times.
Yeah, and if you got pulled over and most anywhere in the Valley, you ended up in Van Nuys.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
She stayed at the Bonaducci wing. We'll take a break, and here's the question for you at 866-901-ADAM. I want to hear your DUI stories. Now, it sounds simple, but I know guys that have gotten arrested for DUI when they thought they were too drunk, so they pulled over and slept in their car and got pulled out of their car and got a DUI. I know a guy who got a DUI in his own driveway, meaning, oh, good news, we don't have to tow your car. It's already in your driveway, but you'll have to climb into the back of our car and be driven away. I want to hear your DUI stories. I have my own, well, a close call. I'll share that with you. 866-901-ADAM next on the Adam Carolla Show.